Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov was in Delhi just a couple of days back. After that, he's been in Pakistan. He spent 19 hours in Delhi. He spent more time in Pakistan. So what has he done? He has said several important things in Delhi and in Pakistan, both of which have a deep meaning. And what that deep meaning is and what it leads to is what we are discussing in today's episode of Cut the Clutter, because we are now living in a rapidly changing world. Now, you might say the world is always changing, so what's the big deal? So the reason it's a big deal is that we are talking in the context of the global power balance and how that matters for India. Now, that's changing at a very rapid pace now for the past couple of years, and not just because the Chinese came in knocking at our doors rudely in Ladakh. Several things have happened over the past 4 years, I would say. This has now come to a stage 4 years hence where you are beginning to see the impacts of these changes. Now, when you see the global power balance, what do you look at? First question you ask is it a bipolar world, unipolar world, multipolar world? So we knew that until 1990, 89, 90, it was a bipolar world. There was a Cold War, there was a Soviet bloc, and there was the American bloc. Now, after that, for some time, it was a unipolar world. Now it is a confused world. It's been a confused world for the past 4 years, but it's now quite clear that it is again becoming a bipolar world. So America survives as the one pole and still the dominant pole, but China has become the second pole. And in some ways, this China is more powerful or more domineering and more dominant than Russia was as USSR in its heyday as the Soviet Union, because China has humongous economic strength that Soviet Union never had. Now, this is the changed world. In this changed world, you also have the rise of other powers, aspiring powers, wannabe powers, and near big powers. Now, you can decide where to put India in that box. I would say India is an aspiring big power. It is nearly there, some distance there, towards that objective. It has missed out the bus a little bit. It's been slow on the economy. It's been slow on some other areas. But still, it is a country which is now looking at the future with a great deal of optimism. And a lot of the world also looks at India as a kind of a balancing new power, not as a superpower, not just yet, not for a long time, but as a balancing important power. In this situation, if you see the picture from India's point of view, when it was a bipolar world, when Russia, Soviet Union and America were the two poles, India was very friendly with the Soviet Union. That friendship or that relationship evolved. It went through highs and lows, but the highs were very high and the lows were not particularly low. So you might say that the high was 1971 when India and Soviet Union signed their Treaty of Peace, Friendship and Cooperation, where the Soviet Union almost backstopped India's security from any molestation by the Americans or the Chinese during the 1971 war. Although we knew and the Russians knew and the Americans knew that that wasn't going to last forever. That's why that war had to be short. After that, it's gone up and down. Even before that, if you go back to 1962, India and Russia had begun to get very close friends in the 50s. That is where Nehru reached out, and some of India's steel plants, public sector steel plants, also got Russian help in technology, etc. And the first decision to buy the MiG-21s was taken. But the war with China took place in 1962, and that is when Russia or Soviet Union was equidistant, because they said both are our friends. One is a friend, one is a brother. So that was a low. From there, it went to a high in 1971. Then it sort of got destabilized a bit as Soviet Union declined, and Soviet Union, after declining, after it broke up and the CIS states went away and Russia was left behind, and Russia became a kind of a loser state for a long time, and this relationship again struggled. This has again been put back a little bit in a little bit on an even keel under Putin over the past couple of decades, because Putin's been around a long time, sometimes as president, sometimes as prime minister. He can choose to be what his title is. How does a title matter? Because he is the boss of Russia. So over these decades, last two decades, we have seen, or you can say three decades, but more over the last two decades since Vajpayee came to power, we have seen Indian-American relationship getting warmer and warmer and stronger and stronger, and the relationship with Russia becoming more and more transactional. So India buys a lot of things from Russia, essentially defense equipment, but it doesn't have that much more in common with Russia. And Russia also has become more of a European power. It also looks elsewhere. It's also an energy power. So it looks at the Middle East very closely. So that essential nature of the relationship has changed, but it has remained stable. In this process, as the Indian-American relationship has been improving, what are the two mantras which have kept visiting us all the time as India relates to America? The two expectations that India has had is that US must de-hyphenate its South Asia policy or its subcontinent policy from India and Pakistan. So US can have its own relationship with Pakistan, fine. It also has its own relationship with India, which is more important, and that relationship is a standalone relation. So it is not hyphenated with Pakistan. So this is not America's India-Pakistan policy or America's South Asia policy. It should be America's India policy. That's what we are concerned about first. Then there can be an American-Pakistan policy. That's their business, because this way we can also see which one has greater priority and which one has more importance. And we don't want to be triangulated or hyphenated between Pakistan and any big power, neither China nor America. So one, India has wanted de-hyphenation. As a derivative of de-hyphenation was the concept of two-country rule. Now that two-country rule was followed for a long time by American dignitaries when they visited the subcontinent. So if anybody who visited Pakistan then visited India, anybody who visited India also visited Pakistan. Now, India was irritated with this, and Pakistan saw it as an expression that both countries, in terms of the American worldview on this region, were at the same level. So this was part of that hyphenation. So post-Cold War, Indian foreign policy worked very hard to get these two things out of the way, because these two used to irritate India. One, the hyphenation with Pakistan, and two, the two-country rule. And we can now see how these two have melted away. Very often you find that now India-America joint statements, even when our heads of state meet, American President, Indian Prime Minister, there is no mention of Pakistan. In fact, the mention of Pakistan more or less has disappeared now for quite some time. The second thing we notice is that increasingly American dignitaries who come to India do not go to Pakistan. In fact, there was a time when it was such a cause for tension that Richard Holbrooke, who was a senior diplomat, he was to come from Pakistan to India. Because India did not like that, he first went to Doha or someplace and then came to India. So it did not look like he was following the two-country rule. Now, when Bill Clinton came to India after the war in Kargil, he for the first time set this principle. He came to India and he was under pressure to go to Pakistan also. By that time, there was some degree of hyphenation still on, because this was a work in progress and he was using a lot of drone attacks from Pakistani soil in the AFPAC area. So he had his compulsions with Pakistan. But even then, he just made an hour stopover in Islamabad, where he didn't meet anybody. He just spoke on TV and he wagged his finger at Pakistan and he made that statement that the border lines on the subcontinent can no longer be redrawn in blood. Remember, that was the year of Kargil, and that is when Musharraf had just taken over, throwing out an elected government in Pakistan. After that, no American has even made that pretense. People come, people go. We have seen every American president come to India, every American Secretary of State come to India, Secretary of Defense come to India. There is no NSA's come to India, CIA directors coming to India. There is no pretense also of the two-country rule. Americans have forgotten it. Now, While these two have disappeared with America, see what's happened with Russia. It is with Russia with which India always had a special relationship. For almost 30 years, it had that Treaty of Peace, Friendship and Cooperation, which was a security treaty by another name. It also said that if one country faces a threat, external threat from another country, the two countries will immediately get into consultations. You know what that means. So that special relationship was there, and then the nostalgia of that relationship was there. What has now happened is that it is with Russia that India's relationship now has got hyphenated with Pakistan. And it is Russia which is now picked up the baton for the two-country rule. And this became obvious with this Lavrov visit. That's why we say the world is changing for India in terms of the global balance of power. This time, Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, he came to India first. From India, he went to Pakistan. So, two-country rule. Also, since one thing follows another, look at the statements he's made, the statements he made in India and the statements he made in Pakistan, where he even said that we see Pakistan as an important friend, that we'll continue our exercises called Friendship Druzhba. In the mountains in particular, he even said that Russia is willing to supply Pakistan high-tech or specialized military equipment, quote-unquote, to fight terrorism. Remember, the Americans had also given Pakistan the F-16s and missiles to fight terrorism. So you can find any pretense. So you now see that it is the Russians who've now gone back, who've picked up the baton on both those policies, two-country rule and hyphenation of India with Pakistan. That is how the world has changed. And that is the reason I say India's position in the global balance of power has turned half a circle. When you say full circle, that means you come back to where you were. No, it's half a circle because what was America has now become Russia. But there is a difference. Russia is not in 2021 what America might have been in 1999 or 1990 or 1980, 70 or any time like that. So that is the big difference. Now see also some of the stuff that happened during Lavrov's visit in India. I don't know how many of you saw that press conference, joint press conference that he had with Indian press. So there was a question asked by Rezaul Lasker of Hindustan Times, who's an experienced foreign diplomatic correspondent. He said that there is an impression that Russia and China are about to sign a military or security agreement. Is that true? Immediately, Lavrov's answer was, Niet. At least that much Russian I know and everybody knows. Anybody who's seen the film Mera Naam Joker should know that. So, Niet. It said no. And then the interpreter piped in as Lavrov spoke. And he said that we have a terrific relationship with China now. As are both respective leaders, heads of states, that is Xi Jinping and Putin, have stated that our relationship, that is the Russia-China relationship, is at its highest point ever in history. Having said that, he said, but there is no plan to have a military relationship or a security relationship. And then, sort of gratuitously, he went on to expand on this. This obviously was a message to India, and also it wasn't a message meant to please India. So he said, we keep hearing about other such alliances. For example, we hear about a Middle Eastern NATO. We also hear about an Asian NATO. These are not good ideas. I think he said something like these are disruptive ideas. And he said, we believe in alliances not that are against anybody. We believe in alliances that are for somebody. Now, that was just a platitudinous statement. But you know, Akalmand ko ishara kaafi hota hai. You knew that he was turning the knife a little bit into India, or he was running his finger into India's eye a little bit. So that was evident. India, on the other hand, it was one of those rare occasions. In fact, I don't know if there have been many occasions. We'll have to check over a long time. If a visiting Russian or Soviet foreign minister did not get an audience with the Indian Prime Minister. Because these two countries have had a very special relationship, but this time Lavrov did not get an audience with Prime Minister Modi on the pretext that he was campaigning in West Bengal. Now, if he wanted to meet Lavrov, he could have met Lavrov. I'm sure half hour could have been found. Also, January 2020, when Lavrov had come to India, he had been given an audience by Modi. On the other hand, when he goes to Pakistan, he meets everybody who matters, not just the foreign minister. It doesn't matter so much in Pakistan, but he meets the army chief, who matters most of all. He meets the prime minister. That is maybe also, it make underlines the point that he could not meet the Indian prime minister. He spent time with the Pakistani prime minister. Although sometimes cruel things happen, maybe these are Freudian slips, when the Russian embassy in Pakistan released a picture of their foreign minister meeting Pakistani prime minister. It said, our foreign minister Sergei Lavrov meeting Pakistan's chief of army staff. So they obviously don't, I mean, the joke was that even they don't know the prime minister of Pakistan. Doesn't matter who matters in Pakistan. But jokes apart, the fact is that he met everybody. There was a reception held for him. No such thing was done for him in India. So if anything, he had much more ceremony about his visit to Pakistan than to India. That is what we mean by how the picture has changed. Now, this is where the strategic picture has changed. What about the picture at the business end or at the tactical end? If you see some research coming out of Western think tanks, so there was a paper last year written by Samir Lalwani and some co-authors at Stimson Center in Washington. We'll try and share a copy with you. That paper showed that more than 80% of India's military hardware is still Russian. In fact, if India goes to war with anybody right now, Indian Army, every tank that goes to war, barring maybe two regiments of heavy MBT Arjuns, which will be floating somewhere in Jaisalmer area, which has no water obstacles, because India doesn't have the bridging for such a heavy tank to cross a water obstacle. All the tanks will be Russians. That will be T-72s and T-90s. All infantry fighting vehicles, so what used to be called APCs in the past, will be of Russian origin. Indian Air Force, two-thirds of Indian Air Force will be of Russian origin. The combat air force will be of Russian origin, that is Sukhois and the various MiGs, 21s, 29s. Similarly, the Navy has a very strong reliance on Russia, especially when it comes to its nuclear-powered submarine. That's been routinely leased to India by Russia for a long time because no other country is willing to do that. Maybe later in the year, as the India-France relationship gets better, because increasingly we see France is becoming the new Russia for India for military supplies, it is possible that France may agree to lease a nuclear submarine to India, but that a nuclear propelled submarine, not a nuclear weapon submarine, to India, then we will see what happens. But right now, that is the situation. Also, for Russia, India is a very important military market. Now, where is Russia? That Russia is not a very strong economy. Russia's economy is about 60% of India's economy, or India's almost twice as big as Russia's already. In fact, Russia's dependence on China now is extreme, because China is a market for a lot of Russian military technology. It's a very symbiotic relationship. China can build a lot of military hardware and needs a lot of military hardware, but they don't have key technologies. For example, some key electronics, early warning systems for missile detection. China doesn't have it. The Russians have it. Russians have engines. China is building fifth generation fighter aircraft, FGFAs of its own, but those ride Russian engines. And Chinese are now desperate to get the more advanced version of Russian engines, which are coming out. So those are areas where Russia can be of use to China. And for Russia, China is a big market. But more importantly for Russia, China is now a very important anchor, because they are anchorless in the world. They are no longer a superpower. They are targeted by America because they have taken pangas with America. So that's a very hostile relationship. They try to interfere in Russian election process. Then an impression grew that Trump has to be pro-Putin because Putin has something on Trump and helped him win the election. So in the process, Trump actually had to be harder with Russia. And now Biden's come in, he's being even harder with Russia. In fact, while Biden has extended the New START treaty with Russia by 3 months, he has made very strong statements on Russia. Look at what else Russia has done. It has alienated the Germans, over what it has done in Ukraine, and then also this Navalny business. Second, it has upset the Brits greatly because it tried to poison its dissident Skripal in Britain. It has alienated other Western countries. So it has isolated itself greatly from the Western world. It is a big military power. It's a nuclear weapons power. But in no other area does it have any parity with either America or China. So it is now quite resigned to being the junior partner of China. That is the reality, and that is again the next big change in the global balance of power. So in this situation, when Russia has no choice but to be the junior partner of China, and China and India are at odds, and China and America are at odds, so what happens? You see that in the new balance of power, there is America on one side, there is China on the other, and in the middle, Russia then supplements or complements China's power against America and its friends. That is important. At which point, I will take you back to Lavrov's short press conference. In the short press conference, our foreign minister, S. Jaishankar, used the expression Indo-Pacific. But Lavrov said Asia-Pacific. If you think it was casual, nothing in diplomacy is casual at that level. And Lavrov has been in the business for a long time. He also knows South Asia. In fact, he was studying to be a physicist, then sort of made a change of direction and went on to study international affairs and studied foreign languages. Do you know what foreign languages he studied and what his specialization is? He read Sinhala, that is the native language of Sri Lanka. And not just that, if you think, oh, Sri Lanka is a marginal country, why is an aspiring Russian diplomat, Soviet diplomat then, learning Sinhala? He also learned Dhivehi. Dhivehi is the native language of little Maldives, just about a million people. So he has spent a lot of his time in Sri Lanka, in South Asia. So just as India had this Russian ambassador who was here for a long time, Hindi speaking, Kadakin. Now there's a street named after him in Delhi's Chanakyapuri. Similarly, Lavrov was in Sri Lanka and he was ambassador to Sri Lanka and to Maldives. So he knows the region. So he very carefully used Asia-Pacific, not Indo-Pacific. And once again, the Russians have let it be known that they are skeptical of the Indo-Pacific concept and Quad. And they see this as a destabilizing entity, and they see it also as an anti-China grouping, because at some point Lavrov had even said this, what is this Quad? Quad is basically to oppose China. That is a publicly stated view from his part. In fact, the exact words he used were, it is an anti-China game. So there is a lot of doubt and differences there. At the same time, at the business end, India will keep buying a lot of things with Russia. India also knows, and Russia also knows, what the real balance between India, Russia, China is. China's economy, I will just give you a straight example, crude and a rude example. China's economy at this point, three times the size of India's and Russia's economies combined. Take a deep breath and absorb it. India's is about twice as big as Russia's, and China's is three times India and Russia combined. So this is a completely changed world. In this changed world, India needs an ally, or India needs allies. India is making a choice, sort of hesitatingly, to go with the Western powers, especially led by America. The pressure from China is not to go that much distance, because they then feel insecure and they don't like it. It irritates them. And because the Russians are now working in conjunction with China, they have to add their voice to the same view. But India is still insisting on buying S-400s. In fact, the first battery will come later this year, in spite of the American threat of invoking CATSA. CATSA, as we know, is the countering American adversaries through sanctions. Americans, everybody, Mr. Modi is not the only one who invents these acronyms. A lot of the governments too. So Americans have made CATSA out of this sanctions law. So this thing will going on. I think what is transactional will continue. But Russia as a strategic ally is now over. America is as a strategic ally is more of a reality. A bipolar world is now a reality. In fact, I would also recommend to you to read an article, a marvelous article by Professor Rajesh Rajgopalan at JNU that we published a couple of days back. I'm sharing it with you, who sets it in perspective very nicely.